Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pages Unknown, the podcast dedicated to all things bookish and nerdy. My name's Michaela, and I'll be joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Zachariah. Say hi, Zachariah.
Hi, Zachariah.
Today's episode marks the beginning of our very important journey with advanced reader's copies, shortened to ARCs. We've both finally joined NetGalley, and Zachariah, is now a menace requesting an insane amount of ARCs from publishers. Today's book, Lore of the Wilds, is the highly anticipated romantasy debut by author Anna Lee Sabrana.
Quick reminder before we get into it, new episodes of Pages Unknown are out almost every week. And I know I've mentioned it before, but the best way to get notified of all our new episodes is by subscribing to the podcast on Spotify and Apple. And if you're enjoying the podcast, right now is a great time to recommend us to a bookish friend. Thanks for subscribing.
So now I have never really, I don't have experience with ARC copies. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really looked into them. We were desperately trying to finish the books that we had already been published that we had our hands on. So doing ARCs was a very daunting idea to me. But now that we're in, I am hooked.
I'm all in.
It feels almost like illicit. Like it feels like I'm doing something like I'm not supposed to, which is very fun, but it's like all above board and all totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Above board, LOL.
And also because I do work at a bookseller establishment, at a book place, Barnes & Noble, I have access to Edelweiss and I'm able to get even more ARCs through them. So it's just nonstop. I could spend all day browsing NetGalley and Edelweiss and downloading all these incredible books that I can't believe I get to read.
Perks of being a bookseller.
Perks of being a bookseller. There are very few, I'll tell you that.
Who wrote Perks of Being a Wallflower? I'm going to go crazy now.
It was a very obvious choice when we were going through our ARC copies, deciding which ones could be an episode, which one we wanted to save until later, I knew I wanted to talk about this book. I've seen it on TikTok. People have been talking about it already for a few months now. Honestly, I've seen a lot of people who got like...
And Bookstagram.
Advanced copies. Yes, and Bookstagram. And all of the reviews were very positive. And we actually follow the author on TikTok. She's very active over there and she seems like a total sweetheart. So I'm even more excited to say that I loved this book. I had so much fun reading it. It is romantasy. It does fall into that genre, which I love. I devour romantasy books. And this felt very somehow new. She managed to merge a couple of our favorite genres. It had a very cottage core sort of cozy fantasy vibe. Mm-hmm. The world had that vibe, but the context of it was very much high fantasy. So
yes,
this was a really fun blending. It was really different, I think, pretty unique, even though it's using tropes that have been, you know, done 1,000 times before. It felt very fresh and I enjoyed it very much. To catch you up, because obviously this book does not come out until February 2024, so you may not have read it yet if you don't have a NetGalley. Just to give you a quick summary, what we're dealing with here, I'm going to read to you the Goodreads synopsis. A library with a deadly enchantment. A fey lord who wants in. A human woman willing to risk it all for a taste of power. In a land ruled by ruthless fae, 21-year-old Lore Alameu's village is trapped in a forested prison. Lore knows that any escape attempt is futile. Her scars are a testament to her past failures. But when her village is threatened, Lore makes a desperate deal with a fae lord. She will leave her home to catalog, organize, an enchanted library that hasn't been touched in 1,000 years. No fae may enter the library, but there is a chance a human might be able to breach through the cursed doors. She convinces him that she will risk her life for wealth, but really, she's after the one thing the fae covet above all. Magic of her own. As Lore navigates the hostile world outside, she's forced to rely on two fae males to survive. Two very different, very dangerous, very hot fae males. That's ad-libbed, sorry. When undeniable chemistry ignites, she's not just in danger of losing her life, but her heart to the very creatures she could never trust. Romantasy all over. This is,
yeah,
Romantasy, with a capital R.
Yes.
But it doesn't read that way. And here's what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. There are authors in this space, we won't bother to name them because you know who I'm talking about, who have dominated this romantasy space, who have kind of, people who aren't necessarily on book talk or in our sphere of book talk are obsessed with these books. This is so much better. If you loved She Who Must Not Be Named, if you loved her books, this is so...
I have no idea. Some of these people don't know who you're talking about.
It rhymes with Mara May Glass. If you loved those books, this is so much better. The writing is so much better. The characters are so much more engaging. The plot actually matters. And the sex scenes are pretty spicy. Hey-o. I knew that I was going to love this from the get. I mean, it's a magical library. Mm-hmm. It's hot fey men who are all protective over this one girl. But I ended up walking away with a similar feeling to the one I felt when I read Legendborn. Like I knew I had just read something important. Not only are these characters diverse to where you feel like you're reading a whole host of different stories, it's inclusive. They've also all been made to be so relatable, lovable. From that description, I knew I was going to love this book already. I knew it was going to be something that was up my alley. I just didn't know how much I would like it, if that makes sense. There are a lot of romanticy that I read, and it's just like a one-off. I don't think about them again. This is a thinker. This is one of the cast of characters where I care about them very much. I care about what happens to them. This book does end on a cliffhanger. We are getting more, and I need it now, immediately, because I'm pretty good at like guessing endings of books. You know, you read a lot and it kind of follows the same note. I did not see this ending coming. I was shook to my core.
High praise, really. High praise.
Well, what did you think? Because you're not a romantasy reader. You're approaching this from a sort of different perspective than I am.
You know, when I think about romantasy as a genre, I've said this in a video, I think, previously, but I like that romantasy is now kind of being treated as its own genre rather than romance or fantasy. I like that things are kind of being differentiated because I do think every single one of those kind of genre or subgenres, it does require its own like very specific touch. I walked into this, I don't know why I thought this, but I think I thought it was YA. Oh. I think I thought it was YA and it is actively not YA.
Nope.
Which is, I'm so happy about. I'm absolutely so happy that I think it's technically NA, so like new adult.
Yes.
Like the character of Laura's 21. Can I tell you how refreshing it is to have a 21-year-old main character? Mm. And that's insane to say. I liked that so much. I thought this was so much fun. And you know me, you know I'm not a romance person all the time. I like it if it's in the back burner, right? There's like a little hint of it,
No problem.
A little hint of it. I love all of this though. You know, I love a magic system and this magic system is very interesting and fun and also a little spooky-ooky.
Just
a little bit. I really, really enjoy this so far. I do think that the idea of where they are, like their village, and the inability to leave it because of a very specific thing is a really nice touch. And I just thought that detail was super, super well done. Because I haven't seen books do that, kind of delve into this scary woods. Why is it scary? And it's just, anyway, when you read it, you'll know. I just happen to really love that detail. So
yeah.
I think how many times can I say that?
I know. Well, it's kind of funny because this is very tropey. It's a very tropey book.
Yes.
It has a lot of cliched tropes. It's got a love triangle. It's got one bed at the inn. It's got you're sick, I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of tropes, but none of them feel overwrought. It doesn't feel annoying to me to read it. And I think the thing specifically with the love triangle, and this is, again, something we ran into with Legendborn and Bloodmarked, where there also is a love triangle. I don't know who I want to win. There's no Gale in the situation. There's no one to root that I'm actively rooting against. So I don't know. I love how both their relationships are developing. I like what they each bring to the table. It's something new to the relationship that is necessary. One of them's more of a caretaker. One of them is more big man, call you out on your bullshit. And both of those things are necessary. So it's kind of a fresh look at it, you know? It doesn't feel like a love triangle. Something else that's key to this plot, humans don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
Humans do not belong in this world of fae, of magic. They are oppressed. They live in squalor. They are overtaxed. They are beaten and abused and dragged through the streets. And I do want to be clear here, before you read the book, you should check the trigger warnings, which
yes,
the author
please.
Has been very clear about what is in the book. So please read those, because there are very violent themes. There's SA, threats of SA, that kind of stuff. So definitely check mm-hmm. those. It's not a teen book, as you said.
Thank goodness.
The humans are brought down low because they don't belong here. And Lore is sort of this bridge between the world, literally, because she's one of the few people that's been invited to the Fae Realm to go into this mm-hmm. magical library and actually act. It's because of her humanness that she is important to them, to the Fae. So she acts as this sort of bridge between the two worlds. And through her actions, we get to see this transition of, we might not have belonged here in the first place, but we're here now, and you don't get to stomp all over us for something that wasn't our fault.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's making a claim. She's taking up space unapologetically. And that is one of my favorite things to see from female characters. I freaking love it when they come in,
me too,
dominate a space and say unapologetically, I'm here and I'm not moving. So you move, bitch. And that's very Lore. But she's also very soft and she's very empathetic. And she feels for people. She doesn't like the violence that they're surrounded by. And even though she's sort of leading this pseudo rebellion, she's very gentle and very... Mm-hmm. connected to the spiritual world around her. And I just love that both of those things can exist in harmony. She could be a leader of a semblance of a rebellion. It hasn't fully formed yet because we're still in the beginning stages, but also be soft and be tender and be compassionate. And one does not negate the other.
It's almost like people in the world are able to write fully rounded female identified characters. Staring right into the camera. You know who you are that cannot do this. I'm not going to name you, but...
You know who you are.
What'd you think about the pacing of the book? I know we want to get into the characters and everything.
No, it's a quick read. It is a quick read. I think that it moves fairly quickly. I would say the first 30% of the book is a little bit slow. You're world building. You're learning about the problem that she's facing. We've been introduced to the conflict. And then everything after that moves pretty quick. By the time you get to the end, it didn't feel rushed, but it did feel quick. Things were happening in very quick succession.
Gotcha. I think some of the scenes drag, but not necessarily like in a way that I would say I'm wholly upset with. But occasionally I'd be like, oh, this has some like interesting pacing choices. Please do not hear me as though I am critiquing that. But that is just one thing that I was kind of, as I read through it, kind of like, oh, this is interesting. Also, a couple of folks were talking about that in their reviews on Goodreads. It has 400 reviews already for a book that's not out until February. So
I know. And I saw she had the author had a few videos about her physical arcs, and she was very excited sending them out. She seems like an absolutely lovely person. I definitely want to forge a little relationship with her and Pages Unknown.
Would love to have you on, Annalee.
This book is a really interesting stepping stone here. Because as mm-hmm. you say, I do like that there's a delineation between romanticy and fantasy, and there are very mm-hmm. clear differences. But this had the romance, it had the smuttiness that we all love in romanticy, but it had aspects to it that felt very capital F fantasy. The stakes, mm-hmm. for example, I mean, all fantasy genre books, it's this very high stakes. It's always the world is literally coming to a cataclysmic end if it weren't for our ragtag group of people. The stakes are high. The plot points, the side quests, if you can call them that, that all work together mm-hmm. for this one main goal feel very high fantasy. I would say where I think romanticy kind of takes over is the world building doesn't feel as in depth. And maybe that will come mm-hmm. later in the series. But that's where I think romanticy and cozy fantasy kind of come into play, where those feel like cozy fantasy especially, because the world, you're just sort of dropped into it. And it feels cozy. It's like very wooded and that kind of thing. The magic is everywhere and tangible, but it's not necessarily like the politics aren't there. The in-depth overview of a government isn't there yet. I'm sure it will be. And that, I think, is where it doesn't hit the fantasy mark. It's more cozy fantasy romanticy area.
I think it's interesting because I agree with you. I think that the world building is a little bit lighter, which is fine. The world is being built, right? We are given all of these things. The thing that kept happening to me was I was pulling from previous books. Mm-hmm. And that's where like the setting that was being described a little bit, I was pulling from something else. Kimberly Lemming's her Mead Mishap series, I was pulling some of that, like the village. That's kind of what I was thinking in terms of like how people were acting and how they were treating each other and all that kind of stuff. So I was pulling from that and I'm like, this is absolutely not a cozy fantasy, but there is definite cottagecore like vibes from parts of this book, which I really liked.
So you're kind of like the, not the czar of cozy fantasy, but you read a lot more cozy fantasy than I do. You forge those connections with those characters in those books a little bit easier than I do. So when approaching Lore of the Wilds, if you were to say like, okay, let me approach it from the lens of a cozy fantasy, do you think it's the characters or the setting that are contributing to this vibe?
Oh, definitely the setting.
Hmm.
This magical library that you get to spend all day in, and it creates fantastical little things for you, provides you tea, right? I'm reading a series right now, the Weary Dragon Inn series. It's on Kindle Unlimited, I think. But the way that that village and community treats each other is very similar to the way that folks in Lore's village treat each other and how they're watching out for each other and making sure that the orphan children have a place to stay and, you know, working multiple jobs. The atmospheres are what was kind of giving me some of those vibes. That being said, this book is actively not a cozy fantasy. There are just this is squarely, I think, romanticy. And it's doing this thing with the tropes. As you said, it's very fresh. They're tactfully employed, these tropes. And then I'm sure we'll get into it later, how they're actively subverted a little bit is where the part I really enjoyed about this book. But if you're talking just strictly from the lens of cozy fantasy, no, I would not. It's on the periphery, like the very periphery. It just got the slight vibes. That's
about
it. It's
so interesting. It operates on the periphery of all of these genres. It's triple dipping almost. And that is maybe something that's been lacking, because things that we've read recently, it's been very clear. This is fantasy. This is romanticy. This is cozy fantasy. The delineations have been very clear.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of new, is all three, but it's also old in that it's using the same tropes from all of these things to make something new.
Everything is new again. You know what I mean?
It's just kind of interesting. It's operating in this very unique space, and I'm really very excited for it to hit mainstream bookshelves, for people to pick up this book and see what they think.
I think the word I would use, the overarching word I would use to describe this book is fresh. The release of this is so well-timed because there were people at the beginning of the pandemic, right? This is where I think a lot of people started getting back into the habit of reading that were in YA. And now it's been 3-4, you know, years beyond that. They're now into NA, like, and so I'm sure that they probably want to see a character that's similar to their age. I think that the timing of this release is very good, especially with a 21-year-old main character. I think that that is a really, really great choice by the author. I just think it also makes sense, like, in terms of, like, the market. I think this is a good choice. Instead of, because you could have actually aged this down so much easier. You could have aged down to YA and it would have not been difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
something else that's kind of interesting. There have been a couple of authors recently that have come directly from BookTok, right? They've come from TikTok. They've written a book. And I'm not talking necessarily about like indie publishing authors. It's just it's a very niche thing. It's a BookTok author. It's a person who writes a story that caters to exactly what is popular on TikTok. And this has a lot of the cornerstones of that, being that it's a romance, a fantasy with fae, people who have wings, and, you know, that kind of thing. But it doesn't read like someone who was just doing it for the sake of making a popular book.
It was chronically online,
The call outs in this episode. I feel like I can feel that she cares about her characters. I can feel that we're going somewhere, if that makes sense. Like there is something coming. These however many, I think it's, is it a, meant to be a trilogy? However many books.
I think it's supposed to be a trilogy.
If it is, however many books there are going to end up being in this series. We are going somewhere and I'm very excited to see it all unfold. This book did a great job setting up a world, setting up characters and character relationships that I care about enough to be curious. And that at its core to me is the fantasy genre. Yeah. I care about the cataclysmic events that I know are coming. I hope they all make it out okay. I'm worried about them deeply because of that ending.
Man, that ending.
Bro. The cliffhangers. I can't. And especially because the book hasn't even come out yet. That's the craziest part. We're still a month out from release. And I'm like, so I have to,
wait, we have to wait
even
so
longer?
Long.
Like, this is the downfall
of
arcs.
Sending her a DM right now.
But I really enjoyed this book. It felt like a good... good little transition piece. And I feel like you enjoying this like opens us up to some romantasy books that I can recommend for the podcast in the future.
Hey, I would love to do another one. Okay. I would absolutely love another to do one. It. However, I think it needs to be a new book because I'm afraid of going back a bit in time to some of the what we now consider romantasy, like some of the ones that are now firmly like rooted in what the genre is about, I think is what I would be fine with checking out. I think also the cover on this is going to be one of those ones that you see, you start seeing all of the time now. I don't know if it's coming out in paperback or hardcover. It looks like it's going to be coming out in hardcover like immediately. It's a really, really, really pretty
really
cover.
Really pretty.
A pretty cover does enhance my, sometimes, I'm just going to say it. Sometimes it does enhance my enjoyment of a book. Sometimes a pretty cover helps because then I can visualize things a little bit better. I know, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I do know.
I'm a visual learner.
I do know what you're saying. This is a shorter episode and I don't want that to be misconstrued as the book lacks substance because we're dealing with a lot of heavy themes in here. Racism, colonialism, even colorism makes a play in here.
Class.
Oh, yeah. Classism
everything.
For sure. We're dealing with a lot. But to be very clear, this is setting up the world. This book is very much a here's what you missed on Glee so we can read the next couple books. I also want to say because we read the ARC copy. There very well might be changes.
We're trying not to talk about too many things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There very well might be changes. She may have edited certain things, taken things out, added things in that we are not aware yet of because we've read the arc, not the final edit. So if we've glossed over like a huge plot point or we've said something and you're like, who is that? I just read this book and he's not in there. That's why we read the arc. It's just like when we read the Atlas Six and you read the traditionally published version and I read the self-published version and there were like a ton of differences where we were like,
do you know
wait,
what's so funny? It's also so funny that you're mentioning that because I did a tandem read with the Atlas Complex and this book, which is such a weird, that was so weird.
What a bizarre tandem read.
What a weird spectrum. What a weird spectrum that we have of
the range.
Because you would never consider... You would never consider a Livy Blake's Atlas series romantasy. Never, never. There's romance and it's fantasy, but it is not a romantasy.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's a weird tandem read, but
very
I do not recommend it, actually. Don't do it. Don't do it, actually.
I just want to make clear, you know, it's just the reason that this episode might be a little bit shorter than others is not because of lack of substance or lack of things to talk about. It's simply because this book is setting us up. And when that second book drops... And the author very kindly agrees to come on the podcast and discuss it with us because I'm manifesting that for us now.
We've talked a little bit about the story and our overarching feelings. Do we want to maybe introduce some of these characters or what do you think?
This is a tricky line we're walking. We have never done an ARC review on the pod. And because this book is not yet published, I don't want to give anything away. I want to retain as much mystery for our listeners as possible. I want this to almost serve as a sales pitch. Here's how I'll introduce the characters. Lore is funny. Lore is smart. She's compassionate. She cares deeply for her community, for the well-being of her community. She feels a connection to every person she meets, positive or negative, she feels a connection. And watching those connections develop when she meets the hot fey male who is assigned to be her guardian while she's ferrying back and forth between her room and the library and the fey realm.
Mm-hmm.
The clanless, brooding fey who joins their ragtag group of rebels because he feels this overriding sense of needing to belong. All of those connections turn into something beautiful because Lore gives time and energy to them. She's generous, but she's not a pushover.
Yeah.
And in the face of violence, she doesn't look away, but it's not her first choice.
We're talking about all of this as though it's wholly positive. But in the book, I will also say she also has to walk this line a lot of the time. This is the person that she is, but she also is being forced to walk this line for survival.
Yeah.
Like, that's also the other thing I want to say. So it's really, that's who she is, but thank God she's that way so that she can survive.
A lot of aspects that we're talking about here with Lore are reflective of the African-American experience of code switching, of pushing yourself into a box to try to fit societal norms, to make yourself more palatable to random white people. Lore is experiencing that.
Or anybody in general. Yeah.
Lore is experiencing that. It's reflected in this world. As you say, she walks the line because she has to. And she's gotten good at it, but not for a good reason. It doesn't sit right with you. The other aspect of Lore that we've kind of explored in other books with Mar Lynchen and with Alex E. Harrow's books, Lore acknowledges her own helplessness.
Yeah.
She's faced a few times with threats of violence from people, and she's saved or something happens that interrupts that threat from coming to fruition. And it isn't her that does the interrupting. She's not saving herself. And she acknowledges that and is actively trying to fix it. She's like, no, you're going to train me how to use a dagger and how to use this because I can never feel that helplessness again. I refuse to feel that way. And she's sort of growing into this. That stubbornness that she has, I think, is her greatest strength. And I'm just, I'm so excited. It's been a while since I've read a book and I've been so excited to see where the series goes. I can't wait to have it on my shelf. I'm definitely going to buy the physical book. We have it as an e-copy.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm definitely going to buy the physical book. I urge you to. Urge you to.
Go pre-order the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I sincerely think that this is going to be very popular. I think it's going to be a really easy book when I'm at work to recommend to people.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so pumped. I'm just so excited about it.
It's such an easy read. Like, you can go relatively quickly through this book. While there are some things that are like a little bit challenging and a little bit triggering, overall, the story itself is just like you want to follow it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to put a book down. Like, there are some that we've read where I've had to walk away for, you know, a day or so before I came back. And speaking
for sure.
of Mar Lynchen.
Well, I also, again, that goes right back to what we were saying before. We're going somewhere. This is all building into something. And I know it will get worse before it gets better, but I'm down for the ride. You got me, Annalie. For anyone who's listening who has not read Romantasy and who kind of is like, this not for me, you know, doesn't like the smut aspects to it. I understand that. I do think, though, this is a genre that is worthwhile. I think that with every publication, we're blurring the lines between romantasy and fantasy. I think that there will always be, there's a sort of, not a stigma, but kind of, it's the same thing that makes the delineation between fiction and women's fiction, you know?
Not the gender essentialism of it all.
Yeah, there's something to that, and I'm not smart enough to expand upon it. Many people have said much better things about that. But this book, I think, is a great tie-in. If you've never read Romantasy, if you have zero interest in reading Romantasy, I think you should still read this book. It's a rapidly growing genre. Goodreads now has it as part of its awards. You can vote on it.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that this genre is ever growing, ever including more and more people, more and more backgrounds, more and more casts of characters that are reflective of real people. it feels like half of romanticy is not inclusive at all and is the shmera shme shmas collective. And then there's like the core of romanticy, which is people who love cozy stuff, but also really want to talk about breaking down power structures and political games and all this type of thing. This feels like it could be something really cool if we all collectively agree to allow as many voices into this genre as possible. And then we just get to read all different kinds of smut, which is what we all want at the end of the day.
I think that honestly is the way God intended it. Absolutely. Like this is
in this TED Talk
on the eighth day. I also want to give a shout out to our mutuals on TikTok. They do a show called Romanticy Reads. It's usually on Mondays. I think it's at like 9:30 Eastern time. It's Zachary Jeffries and Joseph Harkrater. They do it. Hi, both of you. They host a show because they both write Romanticy, which is very fun. They're lovely humans.
It's a space for everybody as long as that's what we make it. And this feels like a perfect fit to me in what I want to see in the romanticy genre.
I agree.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Pages Unknown. If you liked what you heard, feel free to leave a review for us. It really does help. We greatly appreciate it. And as we said at the top of the episode, please make sure you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen so you can get all the updates when new episodes dropped. You can also find us on socials, Pages Unknown Pod on Instagram and Pages Unknown on TikTok, where we're causing some general lovely chaos and putting out some pretty quality content, if I say so myself. And please, for your sake, check out Lore of the Wilds by Annalise Sabrana. She is on TikTok as well, so follow her on socials. This book is going to be released on February 27th, 2024, and I sincerely hope to see a line outside my bookstore of people waiting to come in and buy it. Get on the train. Don't let it miss you, because this is going to be a worthwhile ride. Talk to you guys very soon. Bye.